firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
Yesterday, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, left us on a cliffhanger. David was angry with Nabal and wanted to kill him. But Nabal's beautiful and humble wife, Abigail, was about to intercede. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm glad that you've joined us today as we examine the rest of this riveting story. So if you can, go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 25:25. And while you find your place in God's Word, I'll share a letter from David, who hops aboard the Bible bus from his home in Spokane Valley, Washington. I'm writing to give thanks. I've been on the Bible bus since 2005. Through your programs, I found help out of a deep hole of depression after a divorce. I'm still listening to J. Vernon while running with my Walkman radio at 6:30 in the morning, and also now with my phone app 11 years later. I find great comfort sitting and reading his commentaries about our Lord and Savior. I also have used his commentaries in Bible studies and shared with others many of J. Vernon's colorful stories and deep insights. I have always wanted to give something back. In making a donation online, I guess you could say I'm putting gas in the Bible bus tank. Well, it's great to have you with us, David. Thanks for your support that keeps the Bible bus traveling through your neighborhood and around the world. And if you'd like to know how you can support the Bible bus on our journey through all 66 books of the Bible, or if you'd like to find out more about Dr. McGee's commentaries that David just mentioned, give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit us online at ttb.org. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, reveal to us the truth of your word and help us to discover the wonderful ways it speaks to our hearts and souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now friends, we come back to 1 Samuel 25. And I want to say to you that this was a very exciting moment that we had to leave off. And I didn't really intend for it to work out like that. I thought I would finish the 25th chapter, but I did stop at a most appropriate place because I trust it caused some of you to listen again, and I'll tell you what the background was here. And it was that this man Nabal, and his name means fool, and he had insulted, actually, David's messengers that he had sent to Nabal to ask for food. And he just turned him down flat. And David had been protecting this man's possessions, his sheep and his cattle and everything. And so these young men that David had said, they brought back a report. And let me tell you, when they brought back the report and said that he'd turned them down flat and he'd insulted David, this aroused David's anger to white heat. And he's a red-headed fellow, by the way. And he has this young man gird on their swords, this hot-headed David with 400 followers, armed to the teeth. And they start out in pursuit of Nabal, and he's seeking blood and vengeance. Now, in the meantime, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, heard of the insult. She knew what David would do because she'd heard of David's nobility and how God had dealt with him. And she wanted to send food to him, and she goes to meet him, and she sends servants ahead with bread and wine and sheep and raisins and figs to appease David. And it's a great picture that you have here where we left off. Around the hill yonder comes David riding at full tilt, flushed with anger, and I think he's talking to himself, "I'll get that fella. He can't treat me that way." And he looks down the road, and he sees a woman coming on a little donkey, and he sees all of the food stuff, and his men are hungry, and he halts before this beautiful woman. And for the first time, David, God's anointed, is face to face with a noble woman who meant well by him. And she bows before David, just gets right down in the dust. She's humble, and she asks that David take his revenge upon her. Says, if you want revenge, just take it on me. I'm the wife of this man. And I think she's wise in that because she's beautiful. And David's not about to harm a beautiful woman like this, especially when she made the appeal that she did. And now she appeals to the best that's in David, and she advises him. Listen to her, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. She apologizes for the fact her husband is a fool and a brute. Listen to this. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, that he's a man of the devil, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. David is just starting out, friends. Evil is in his life later on, but up to this point, David is as clean as a hound's tooth. He's lived for God, and he's attempting to please God. And this woman admires him for it. Now, notice verse 29. This is one of the most remarkable things said about David. Be wonderful if it could be said about us. He says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. She's referring now to King Saul. She doesn't identify him by name. I read on. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Now, I think that's one of the most wonderful statements ever made concerning David, made by this woman. And she says, your soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And friends, that's just exactly the position of the believer today in Christ. You know, John, in his first epistle, calls him eternal life. He says, we have seen eternal life. And he means the Lord Jesus. He is eternal life. And when you and I trust him as Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of believers. And that body is Christ. Paul says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And you and I today are brought into the body of believers, the body of Christ, by faith in Christ. And we are said to be in Christ. And there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And so we are bound in the bundle of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman Abigail said that of David, that you're bound in the bundle of life with God. And now she continues in verse 29, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Just like you take a slingshot, and David knew all about that. And I think that she referred to that purposely, because it was well known now in Israel what David had done with the slingshot in slaying Goliath. And she says, just as you put that rock in that slingshot and you threw it out of the sling and it hit Goliath, that's the way your enemies will be thrown out. They shall be sling out, as she puts it here. He'll sling them out. What a picture that you have here. Now she continues, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. What she's saying is, don't hold this against us. You're going to be king. And notice what David does now. I can see him sitting astride that horse. He's looking down at this woman that's right actually down in the dust. She's a beautiful woman, and she's a noble woman, a wonderful character. And David looks down at her, and this is what he says. Verse 32, And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal, not a man. He said, I'd have killed them all. And David received of her hand that which she brought, and he said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I've hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in the house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. You see, this man, he had a big night. He was a swinger. But he sobered up the next morning, and it's the morning after the night before, and he's really got a headache and a heartache too. That heart becomes a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. He had a heart attack, friends. You see, it's well that God intervened, because David would have been red with murder, and God didn't want it that way, and Abigail didn't want it that way. Now what's he going to do? There's a beautiful widow that lives in the desert of Paran. What do you think David's going to do now? She's the only woman that ever did him well, I would say, that was a blessing to him. Now notice verse 39, And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord. And actually, there's a little personal feeling in this. That hath pleased the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. You know, she said when she came to David, says, Don't forget us, says, Remember thine handmaid. And David couldn't forget her. You know why? Well, she had appealed to the best in him, and she advised him, and he knew that advice was right, and he knew that he loved her. I think it was love at first sight. And now David recognizes the hand of God, and God can use beauty, and he thanks her for advice. And now we find that when they stood there that day, there were two great souls that stood in the presence of each other. And now that this man's dead, why, what happens? Why, he goes down and he asks her to become his wife. And you know what happened? She did. And so this is the beginning now of the life of David as a rugged soldier. This marks it, by the way. And now something else takes place. God didn't approve of it. This is not the reason that he's a man after God's own heart. But we're told here that David, verse 43, also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phaltith, son of Laish, which was of Galim. And this is the beginning of a life of David. And it was a life of sin. It entered into his life, friends. He was a rugged man. And it was a life that later on of murder. And when we get to it, I think I can offer an explanation. I'm sure that's satisfactory, but it didn't keep David from being a sinner that he was. And somebody says, well, how could David say he's a man after my own heart? Well, let's understand one thing. God said to David, you can't do the thing that you really want to do, and that is build a temple. God would not permit him to do that. And that was the thing upon David's heart that he wanted to do above all else, but God wouldn't permit him to do that. And then when David sinned, God did put the lash on his back and never took it off his back. We'll see that when we come to it. But now we come to the 26th chapter, and when we do, we see David again spares Saul in the wilderness of Ziph. And we'll notice here the contrast between Saul and David. Saul knows now that David is God's choice, but in spite of all that, he seeks to slay him. And David recognized that Saul is still the anointed king, and he spares him. And God must deal with Saul, and he's going to, and he will. We're going to see that. Now, we'll notice this as we move on. I begin reading now in chapter 26. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Now here goes Saul on another campaign, another crusade to try to destroy David. Now we find that what happens is this. David was in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. Now, David knew that wilderness, and Saul did not. David knew his way around, and it's well to note that from here on, David is a great military man. He knew the terrain of that land that made him an expert general. And he also had loyal men with him that were willing to die for him and with him. And that made a great deal of difference. Saul did not know the terrain. And added to that, his followers were not as loyal as they could be. And he certainly suspected them. Now we are told that, verse 4, David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. David couldn't believe that Saul would make such a military blunder as that. So he sent spies out, and they came back, these scouts, and reported that Saul actually was in the wilderness there. Now we're told, and David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Now David is in a position to observe all of this. He was able to hide in that wilderness. Now David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and he beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I'll go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night and beheld Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. You see, at the head of the bed, why, he just stuck his spear in the ground. And what happened? Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. The thing that Abishai says, if you just let me at him, I'll just take one blow, that's all I'll need, and I'll rid you of your enemy. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? You see now, he refuses here to do this thing, and David again has the opportunity to slay Saul and will not avail himself of it. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, and the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. He says, God will have to take care of him. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And David is acting upon that principle. Verse 11, the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away. And no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Well, it wasn't difficult, I would say, because I do not think the protectors of Saul were too loyal to him. I think they were glad to get a little nap here. Verse 13, then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great space being between them. Now, David withdrew, but not to his man. He went around way over on the other side, and he got a safe distance where he could have gotten away. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? Now, very frankly, David, I think, is being very sarcastic here with Abner, who was the captain for Saul and should have been protecting him. And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. The thing's not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you're worthy to die because you have not kept your master the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it's my voice, my lord, O king. And what actually happened here, as you can see, is that David is ridiculing Abner, the captain. And he says, why, the king could have been destroyed. He could have been slain. And they begin to look around at each other, and the king wakes up, and he was wondering what's happened. He says, look there and see where the spear is and the cruse of water. It's gone. And I think David held it up. And David said, look, I've got it. I could have slain him, but I did not. That's the important thing again. He did not slay the king. And what a wonderful attitude this was, you see. God is going to handle it as far as David is concerned. It's easy to criticize David, is it not, friends? But how many of us today are letting God handle our enemies? We are trying to take the thing in our own hands, and we're trying to answer them and trying to deal with them. God says, let me handle it, and you walk by faith. Trust me. God says you can trust me. And you're going to find out David could trust the Lord, because the Lord will take care of Saul in time. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now we find here that David is becoming very much discouraged in this constantly running away. And then we're going to see next time, and I hope you'll call up a friend. We're going to see Saul's visit to the witch of Endor. And there's always been a big question about that. You and I are living in a day when Satan worship is rising again, spiritualism. These folk today that constantly looking at the zodiac, and literally millions of dollars being spent on that today. I say to you, it's satanic. We'll see that next time. Call up a friend, tell them to listen.
You know, Dr. McGee was right. We need to trust God and walk by faith. To learn more about how you can trust in our Lord, visit ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? And if you're already a child of God, but you want to know more about walking by faith, I suggest you download Dr. McGee's free e-booklet titled Living the Christian Life God's Way. It's one of the many Bible study resources that we offer, some for free and some for purchase, when you visit us at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll help you get what you need. Our fascinating study in 1 Samuel continues tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and join us.
Jesus made it home, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.